Hello, I'm Haley.
And I'm Miranda.
And we're the Newport Beach Babes. Welcome to the OC, bitch. Yep. We are so professional.
What?
We're back in the studio, hanging out, and we're going to talk about season one, episode 8, The Rescue.
The Hulu synopsis for said episode. Julie warns Ryan to stay away from her daughter.
Yeah.
Kirsten disapproves of Sandy's friendship with his new coworker, Rachel.
Uh-huh.
The dean makes Ryan take a placement exam to determine his future at Harbor High School.
She sure does.
Yep.
Is that it?
Yeah, they're fans of the semicolon lately. There's multiple.
They do like the semicolon. There's like multiple instances of the semicolon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is pretty accurate.
Yeah.
We are
Summary.
Waking up, I assume, the morning after Tijuana.
Yes.
It's because it's like, well, no, it's got to be like.
It's unclear.
It's unclear,
yeah.
But it seems like the morning after because it's like
yeah.
dark outside. They're all hanging out in the kitchen. They're all very somber.
Mm-hmm.
Kirsten's trying to get them to eat bagels.
Yeah.
And nobody wants to eat anything.
Mm-hmm. That clearly empty butter tub, though.
Yeah, it was like.
I was like, could you just try to pretend?
I was like, could you pretend?
Could you just pretend
that there's actually
around?
Butter?
Yeah.
So Marissa's in the hospital because, as we know, in the last episode, she took a bunch of pills and drank a bunch of alcohol. And Ryan and Summer and Seth found her in an alleyway in Tijuana.
Mm-hmm.
So they get a call from presumably Jimmy, and they go to the hospital.
Yep.
And she's okay. She was awake earlier. You know, she was responding.
Mm-hmm.
And Julie comes traipsing in
oh,
that
man.
In another iconic sweatsuit.
Yes.
I don't know. I want to know what Julie's closet looks like. Does she just open it up and be like, what tracksuit should I wear today?
Is it evening wear or is it a tracksuit?
That's all she has.
Yeah.
In this season, at least. Like, she's so tracksuit. Like, it's almost ridiculous. Like, but I get it. She's trying to like recapture her youth, and like everybody was wearing those like Juicy Couture sweatsuits. I remember I kind of wanted one.
And I guess she doesn't work, so it's
she
not
does
like
not
she
work.
Needs, like, a power
she doesn't.
Suit.
Yeah, she doesn't. Well, eventually, you know, like we do see her in other clothing, but
for sure
now it's lots of tracksuits.
Yeah,
and she comes in and she's like, "What are you doing here?"
Totally. Ugh,
and she's
gross.
So icy, and it's
that
like,
look is absurd. It's so
she's.
Good.
Julie's incredible. I mean, I will say it a million times. I think she's one of the better actresses on this show.
For
100%.
Sure. Yeah.
Basically, Jimmy's like, well, I called them. I called them because, well, Ryan's the one who fucking saved her life.
Mm-hmm.
Really, if you think about it. So, like, of course he called them to be like, she's okay. You want to come see her?
Yeah.
So she's basically like, Julie's like, get out of here. And she blames Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
She blames Ryan because.
In a scathing monologue.
Scathing monologue.
Do we want to?
We
do
can
it?
Play
it's
it.
Early.
Yeah, it's pretty early. I know we're only 3 minutes in, but this is a good clip.
I don't know what happened in Mexico, but here's what I do know. Since you showed up, Marissa's been a wreck. Comes home crying, doesn't want to go to her own cotillion, having problems with her boyfriend. And now you can add another shining accomplishment to your list of achievements. In addition to stealing cars, burning down houses, and befriending would-be assassins, you've almost killed my daughter.
You can blame me all you want, but I would never do anything to hurt Marissa.
Well, you're not going to get the chance, because you're never going to see her again. You even try, and I'll make sure you're thrown back in juvie, where you belong.
She just gives him a little shrug and, like, walks away.
She looks stunning while doing it, though.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Julie is drop-dead gorgeous.
For sure.
Even
with those awful highlights.
Yes. They were so cool back then.
Oh, yeah.
That's
I
wanted were those
Absolutely.
Chunky highlights. I begged and begged my dad to get those.
Mad props to not punching her in the face.
Well,
I could have.
Again, it's not an OC episode unless somebody's getting punched or we're going to an event. They leave the hospital. It is registration week at the Harbor School. We're at school, y'all.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yep.
We are going to school.
Yeah.
And we're trying to get Ryan into the Harbor School.
It's true.
Which is one of the nicest private schools in, I guess, the country. They kind of, I mean, especially in Southern California.
It definitely looked like Stanford, but it's probably not. just as someone who went to nerd camp there?
I think they did film it at like some LA college, probably, like, not at USC Stanford, but it's like some sort of like college there. It was not an actual high school.
That makes sense.
They're just trying to get Ryan into the school.
Yeah.
I wrote basketball hoop.
Oh yeah, I have a lot of these little quotes.
Yeah.
We had a basketball hoop, because they're like, "What? You didn't have like tennis courts and swimming pools?"
Right.
He's like, "Well, we had a basketball hoop."
Right.
And then later Sandy does that at the office. He's like, "We had a basketball,
hoop." I love a good callback.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah. So Ryan obviously is kind of taken aback by how nice this school is, because it is absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And having lived in like that sort of climate, like Vegas schools were all outside,
I was going to ask about that, because that is fascinating and beautiful to me, that like you can just like, I feel like that's so good for people's like mental health and like self-esteem and just like a break of the day.
Well,
like,
the weather is so nice.
Yeah.
All of the time. I mean, Vegas gets cold obviously because it's the desert, but like my middle school, and I presume if I had stayed there for high school, was all outside. We'd have like a big quad, and you could like go to class like in, like they'd be hallways inside, kind of like they have obviously like in this school
like
too.
They have like a combination of
but
things.
Yeah, like you could
get to like, there's different buildings maybe. Mm-hmm. Or,
yeah. It was really nice. Yeah. So I guess that's just like a Southern Californian. And as I've said before, Vegas is knockoff Southern California.
Absolutely. There's a lot of like, speaking of, we kind of mentioned that like Sandy said the basketball hoop. Like,
yeah.
Either at work or later, but there's a lot of like back and forth of like school registration and then Sandy's new day at the new firm. Mm-hmm. So it's like we're popping back and forth.
Yeah. Sandy's starting at the new firm.
Yeah.
The same day that they are trying to get Brian to register for Harbor School.
Yeah.
He's at the fancy private firm now.
Totally.
Back at the Harbor School, Ryan is waiting to meet with Dr. Kim,
our second person of color.
Woo!
Well, I guess third, because we're counting Rosie or Rosa.
Who does show back up?
I know. I don't think it's this episode,
I don't think it's this episode,
but I'm a celebrate.
She does, and I couldn't. I was like, I literally, Rosa.
You should see my note.
I am very excited about it. But yeah, so we meet Dr. Kim. She's the dean of the Harbor School, and they're waiting, Kirsten and Ryan are having like kind of a cute little chat on the bench, and she's very supportive of his like future, because he's very like, nah, I never really thought about college, and she's like, you know, if you do well here, like you could do anything you want,
for sure.
You can get into any USC school, like any UC school,
UC,
and you can go to sometimes even Ivy League, you know. So, which is something that he probably never thought of, even though he is very intelligent. He's just troubled,
not always goal oriented. That Ryan, he's more reactive,
right?
As we'll see.
As we'll see. Jesus. Seth comes by and says his whole crazy schedule. He's taking French 4, which I was like,
I know,
my God.
I got. I mean, I got to Spanish 5.
Oh wow!
In high school.
Wow, that's cool. We only had, I think it was 4, but
I think 5 is the highest. I could be wrong.
I appreciated that Dr. Kim said, "Seth, always interesting to see you." She's so shady. Kim is very like, she's shady.
Yeah,
that Dr. Kim.
Yeah, I feel like the word interesting, I even find myself using it. My friend Ben Shively, oh my God, he used to be like, interesting. Like if I said, I did like a story and he'd be like,
oh, I definitely do that.
And now I've adopted it where I'm like, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Like, whereas like interesting is like you're trying to not find like a mean term. So you're just like, oh yeah, that was interesting. And like I've done that. If I've done that to you, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So yeah, we're back at Sandy's first day at the fancy firm.
Yeah.
With Rachel, and he's getting some very exciting cases. Botox gone wrong, a chemical peel gone wrong, noise complaints.
Jesus.
But as he says, rich people need lawyers too.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's super thrilled about this job right off the bat.
Not
obviously.
At all.
Those are the kind of cases he's got
far.
Ryan back at the Harbor School has to take an aptitude test, because Dr. Kim is very much like, your grades are not good, but your test scores are.
Yeah. Well, and it's, she says too that it's not, it's not an aptitude test. It's like it measures your preparedness. So it's like, how much have you already learned and what do you know? Not like, what are you capable of knowing?
Yeah.
I think because they know that shit is so rigorous that if you're like remotely behind, you're just so fucked.
It seems like an insane school to go to.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go. He was like, I can't change where I'm from, but I can change where I'm going.
Oh, what a line.
Ryan
really has those lines, man.
Yes.
He's a killer. So while Ryan and Dr. Kim are having that conversation.
Yeah. Seth and Summer?
Seth and Summer meet up out on the terrace where they all eat lunch all of the time that overlooks the fucking ocean. It's goddamn insane.
Yeah.
And she's being really nice. She's good. They're just kind of talking about Marissa. And she's like, he's like, you know, maybe when Marissa's out, we can take her to a movie and cheer her up. Or maybe even before then, like, maybe me and you can. And she thinks about it for a second.
I know. But then those girls walk by.
And they're like, hi, Summer. And they, like, look at Seth. And they're like, oh, what? Yeah. And then she, like, changes. And it's kind of sad. It's like a sad little moment because it's like clearly like we know at this point that she's into Seth for sure. Well, but she's scared to be into Seth because Seth is, he's Seth Cohen.
And he gets it. He says, we're back in school now where the rules apply.
Yeah.
Sad day.
It's sad.
Seth. Yeah.
It's upsetting.
Totally.
Back at the hospital.
Julie's rocking another tracksuit, unless that's the one from before.
It might have been a different one. I don't know. She has so many tracksuits.
It might have been from before.
Julie and Jimmy are fighting over custody.
Yep.
Julie basically blames Jimmy for everything that's happened to Marissa. She's like, you know, before you decided to do this and that, Marissa never had problems and blah, 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 blah. And so she's asking for sole custody of the girls.
Right.
And he's like, no, I will fight you. And on this whole time, Marissa wakes up.
Conveniently
wakes up looking perfect.
Yeah, I was
she
like, I love
her. She looks so fresh-faced. And
her makeup is flawless.
Her makeup is flawless, even though she just had her stomach pump. Like,
yeah,
she just woke
up after almost dying and being sweaty as fuck in TV. Like, no.
I hate
you do not look like that, ma'am. Unless, let me dial it back. Julie very well could have
put some makeup.
Like, washed
she, like, walks
face
in, she's, like, painting her daughter's face.
I take it back. Marissa could totally look like that.
Yeah,
because Julie is that crazy.
I would believe that. Marissa... After they have that little scuffle, Marissa reaches into her purse. She grabs her phone.
Yeah.
And she calls Ryan, who is attempting to study for this test in the pool house, and Seth will not shut up.
Yeah.
Because
Seth is ranting about Summer, and he's like, it's 2 hours till this test. I can't talk to you. Then the phone rings, and it's Marissa. And Ryan just drops everything to go rescue her.
He drops everything. Because
This is so unhealthy, Ryan.
I have so many problems with their relationship, and being an adult and, like, watching it, it's so messy.
Enraging.
It's so enraging. And, like, I have a lot of problems. I think I've talked about this already on this podcast, only 8 episodes in, but, like, I have so many problems with Marissa, too.
Oh, fuck yeah.
But they also, and we'll talk about this maybe in a minute, but, like, they also handle Marissa very poorly, I think. Like, her parents do.
Oh, everyone does.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Ryan's just being fucking dumb. It's like, this is just some girl. Like, that you've only known for maybe 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Maybe
max.
A month.
Max.
Maybe six.
Some crazy shit's gone down.
I understand you have a bond. Like, that's fine. So he drops everything. And he goes to the hospital to go and see her.
Yeah.
He brings her.
Aww. The tiny vase and little flowers.
The little flowers.
Which I accept from Ryan. I accept that
it's
from Ryan
cute.
Because
he's
poor.
Poor, and they didn't have anything else in the gift shop.
Uh-huh. And he's not, like, in a relationship with her technically.
No.
Whereas, like, Luke and his shitty bear from before,
stupid
like,
bear.
He has no excuses.
I gotta hate him.
Kirsten
is gonna go ask.
Oh, wait. Pause. Sorry. In that little conversation with Ryan and Marissa there, quote from Marissa, I'm sorry. I was so dumb. I didn't want to kill myself. I didn't. I just wanted to escape. And I was like, hey.
It's the title of the episode.
From before.
I get
escape.
It.
And
yeah.
then I was like, but also, like, that's literally the definition of trying to kill yourself.
Yeah,
Marissa.
It's
like,
literally the definition. She's.
Anyway, I was really
interesting
upset.
Conversations about mental health on this
yes.
show.
Yes.
And how it's treated. And how the conversation, I think, has changed a lot in the last 15 years. But we can talk about that in a little bit.
We will get to it.
Sorry, go ahead.
No, just because you were going to Kirsten and I want to get these little things in here.
Yeah.
Julia's changed into a horrific pink tube top with some, like, ribbons.
It is, but it was so cool then.
I'm it totally
was. Very, like,
totally.
We did a lot of ribbons in the early 2000s.
Yeah, yeah. They were just nuts. And
it's nuts.
So they have their little conversation about, like, I don't even know what I just have quotes of, like, I was unhappy. And she's like, you never told me. And she said, I tried. And then Julie just walks away. And I was like, Julie,
walks away.
This is the problem.
This
you
is the
just,
problem.
Like, deny that there's
she's
a problem and you
denying.
Leave.
Yeah, is exactly what it is.
So.
She throws Ryan's little sunflower in the trash.
I know. And then
well.
He comes out of the little bathroom and he's like, let's get you going or whatever.
Yeah.
Or I don't know.
No, I think that's later.
That's later. But he was like, you know, we'll figure something out. And she's like, oh, but my mom. And he goes, I'm not afraid of your mom. She says, Well, I am.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I am too.
And now we're at Kirsten.
Kirsten is...
Thank you for obliging.
Asking... But it's fine. Kirsten's asking Seth if Ryan wants lunch, and Seth is trying to, like... Because Seth knows, he went to go see Marissa, so yeah. Seth's like, oh, he's, like, studying... Naked. That's what he does. And yeah. Don't go see him. Like, blah, you know.
All of the panicky excuses are amazing.
They're pretty great. They're very like Seth, very Adam Brody, like riffing, obviously.
I love it.
So Jimmy comes over and asks Kirsten to ask Sandy about
what his options are.
Yeah. Custody wise.
Yeah.
Because Julie obviously wants sole custody, and she's basically threatening visitations, like supervised visits.
Yeah.
So it's bad, and he again apologizes about kissing her, and
doesn't even want to come in. He's
fucking
like,
weird, and she's being way too cool about it. I mean, because Kirsten's an angel, and I love her so much.
She is. She's being an angel, but she also is. I don't want to say even standing up for herself, but she says it's okay. And she goes, I mean, it's not okay.
It's not okay,
but it's okay.
Yeah, like, yeah.
And so I
like that line
that,
too.
But I mean, it's not okay.
It's not okay. It's
not
definitely
cool.
Not.
Yeah.
But she's like, we're adults. Like, we'll move past it. And like, you know,
your daughter is like,
I
in
do
a
think.
Hospital.
Yeah, your daughter's in the hospital. There's other shit going on right now. There's bigger
things.
Yeah. As they say in Spider-Man 2, there are bigger things happening now besides you and me. I love Spider-Man. Anyway.
Back in the hospital?
Back in the hospital. We're really jumping around this episode.
Because it's
the, very quick.
The editing of the episode is just like, this.
We're here. Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa.
So we're back in the hospital, and Julie basically is telling Marissa there's a center in San Diego for troubled young women.
Yep.
Marissa immediately is like, mental institution.
Yeah. Julie's dropping that bomb. But, like, Marissa should absolutely go there, in my opinion.
I mean, later when there's
an additional option presented,
I'm
fine with that. Other option is way better, but she definitely, like...
She needs help, for sure.
Yeah.
I wrote down, like, I was thinking when I was watching it, I was like, I do think Marissa needs help, and she does get it eventually, which is good.
But...
Good in some ways. But...
it's always a price.
She's definitely, like, a troubled young... Yeah, I feel bad because I was watching it. I was like, oh, poor little rich girl. But, like, she has problems. Like,
she
needs help. She needs mental health help.
Yeah.
But I don't think that sending her away is the best option. To me, watching it, it's just Julie not wanting to face the problem, and she's just pushing it away.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, oh, well, I don't want to take care of this, so I'll let these people take care of it.
Yeah.
Rather than actually, like, have Marissa stay in Newport, have her go to therapy here in Newport. It's just really messy.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, like, I mean... I make a lot of excuses, weirdly, for Julie, but that, like,
she's the most interesting character on the show, hands down, to me.
Yeah. And I feel like the Melinda Clark who acts, like, she just acts the shit out of it.
She does.
And so
she does. We love you, Melinda Clark. Please come on the show. Please fly to Chicago and come on the show.
We'll pay for your ticket.
We will not. We will not pay for your ticket. We are very poor.
Okay. Well, we'll kickstart.
Yes, we'll GoFundMe, just like Trump and the border wall.
Gross. Her world is crumbling. Like, she thought she had some stuff, and Ryan brings it up later.
Absolutely.
But, like, it's not great that she's trying to send Marissa away, but she's doing it because she's, like, panicking.
She's panicking, but she's acting out in a way that is, it's messy.
It's not great.
So,
she takes her phone and goes and calls Summer.
She calls Summer. Marissa takes the phone and calls Summer. Summer goes to the Cohen household.
Yeah.
She knocks on the door. Seth's, like, laying in his room listening to, I don't know, the Ramones or something. I don't know. And he's like, no, go away, Mom. I'm studying.
Naked.
She's like, ew.
I don't get it. What kind of family do you have, Cohen?
That's one of my favorite lines.
Amazing.
He's like, a very normal family where mothers and sons keep
all
their clothes.
All of the time.
All the time, even in the shower.
Yeah.
It's the first time we meet Captain Oates.
What is this?
Captain Oates.
I love him.
If you're listening and watching along, or maybe not even watching, just listening because you love us.
Yeah.
Captain Oates is Seth's
plastic horse.
Yeah, it's a little plastic horse.
Yeah.
And we hang out with Captain Oates quite a bit on this show.
We are
Captain Oates stands here at Newport Beach, babes.
Yep. I have an OTP for Captain Oates, but we haven't met her
yet. We will. He's got a true love. So Summer basically is coming over and being like, hey, like, this is happening.
I need to get radical.
We need to get radical.
I need Ryan. And he was like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, because, like, Seth is, like, so radical.
You ready to take on Julie Cooper? And he's like, yeah, we need Ryan.
Yeah, you always need Ryan. I mean,
I'm all in on
this
Summer
is all,
this episode.
This is when Summer changes. Like, yeah. I said that a couple episodes ago, but this is when she becomes, honestly, like, Julie's the most interesting character to me, but my favorite character is Summer.
The most likable character is Summer.
Absolutely.
So Julie's the most interesting, Summer's the most
likable. Even when she's vapid and, like, just kind of a, like, just.
Yeah.
She's still the most likable character on the show.
I feel like she's so smart.
She is. She, just in different ways. And I think they talk about that eventually in the, on the series.
Yeah.
Way later. But, like, she's honestly, like, just the sweetest and, like, warmest character on the show, for sure.
Yep.
Which is weird because when you first meet her, she fucking sucks.
Yeah.
She sucks so bad. Yeah. I mean, I know she's, we're like, only on 8 episodes away. But she is. She's on par. Like, who dat? And, like, you know, they're, like, hotboxing in the car. Like, oh, you didn't bring me? Like, it's all, she's so different.
Oh, I have a theory that that the network was trying to figure out who audiences liked better, Summer or Holly, and then based on that, they were gonna, like, make that one, like, their best friend. Yeah,
that's interesting.
I don't know.
Because they do say, like, they were like, "Oh, let's be before you made out with her best friend." And I'm like, "But Holly and Marissa never really hung out.
They were kind of like a trio of best friends originally."
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. I don't know. I think that's a good. Because, like, Summer, obviously, she was just supposed to be guest starring, and then I think audiences really, like, responded well to her.
Yeah. Agreed.
I mean, including myself, I think Summer is amazing.
Yeah.
She's probably my favorite character. But so they're going to go break Marissa out of the hospital, which is so stupid.
Dr. Sandy, Kim is unpleased by that.
Well, yes, but before that, Sandy's out here.
Oh, yeah.
He's booking court dates.
Yeah.
At his new firm, day one. Mm-hmm. And Rachel is mad. Rachel's like, "Hey, you're not supposed to book court dates. You're supposed to settle.
You're supposed to settle."
Which we'll get to. That's a motif we want to remember.
Gotta remember for this episode.
We want to settle. We're gonna want
to
settle.
You don't want to go to court. You want to settle.
So Seth and Summer go and get Ryan from his aptitude test. I know it's not an aptitude test, but it's just easy to say that. He's at his test.
Yeah.
And Dr. Kim comes in and she's like, "What the fuck is going on here?" Yeah. She doesn't say fuck, but whatever.
She might as well. Her face says
she's upset.
Yeah.
And she's like, Summer's like, it's an emergency. And he's being so stupid. He leaves the test.
She says, "You walk away from this test, you walk away from the school." And he's like, "Fine."
And he did.
Bye.
I wrote in all caps, "This is all so dumb."
Yep.
They're being so stupid.
Yep.
If this was happening to my friends.
Yeah.
I mean, I get that they think it's not going to be an immediate thing.
They're not going to be murdered.
They're not, like, taking her away in a straitjacket immediately. Like, it's going to happen.
She's not calling with a killer in the house.
It's insane. They're all teenagers too, so they're all overreacting. So we're back in the hospital.
Yeah, she's being evaluated.
She's being evaluated by the therapist.
Yeah,
and I just want to say in all caps, this is junior year.
Can I read you this note? I said, "Marissa's being evaluated, struggled with anorexia in 9th grade, and in 10th grade, you were caught shoplifting." And I said, in all caps, "Oh, shit, Haley was right.
I was right. Yes, yes.
Well, and so I had a theory originally that it was going to be like 2 junior years then, intentionally, but I realized that there's a Chrismica episode every year.
There's a Chrismica episode,
so it has to be a calendar year.
It's definitely, and we'll get there when we get to season 2, but they definitely do junior year twice.
Amazing.
Which is wild. They just like they're like, "Oh, whatever." Because it would have been like too young for them, I think, to start as sophomores.
Yeah.
Because junior year is like, you know, like
established.
It's a little bit more established. Like, they can drive and they're 16 and, like, you know, they're having sex or whatever. It'd be weird if they were all 15. I mean, I'm not gonna sledgehammer anybody on, like, when he lost her virginity, but you know what I mean. Like, it's just kind of a little bit more, but anyway.
It's a harder pill to swallow.
It's a harder pill to swallow if they're young. If they're younger than 16, I think. So I literally just wrote in all caps, "This is junior year."
I wasn't like ride or die.
Right.
But I was like, I hate being wrong. And then I was like, gotta write this down. I gotta say, Haley was right.
Yeah. Burr, 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 burr,
burr. Air horns.
But anyway, so she's being evaluated by the therapist, who's a very nice woman.
She's great.
And she's kind of just like, "Hey, like, you know, in 9th grade, you had trouble with anorexia. And in 10th grade, you were caught shoplifting." And Marissa's got a fucking attitude.
Jesus
with
Christ.
This. She's very just like, "Yeah, it was just a pack of cigarettes."
Yeah. She's very dismissive.
Like, she's just super dismissive. Yeah. Until finally, like, the therapist was like, "Okay, well then let's talk about you and your fucking mom."
Ugh.
And Marissa's like, "Okay, well, how much time do you have?" So I think that's when she opens up to the idea.
I love that.
The boys and Summer are at the hospital because Summer is a candy striper.
She looks fine as hell, and that's
she looks super cute.
Yum.
She looks super cute. She's wearing like a little like a candy striper outfit. It's like baby pink and like little like striped apron.
And her hair pulled back in like that little tiny thing in the front.
She's super cute.
So good.
She looks super cute. And she's like pushing books around. She reads books to sick people. It's very sweet. And that's how they are going to.
That's like that's their undercover rescue.
Summer's
mission.
Like, oh, they're with me. It's fine. Don't worry about it. That was horrible Summer impression.
Yes.
The therapist says Marissa needs help.
Yeah.
Either at the Institute or here.
Or you could do it here. Yeah.
In Newport. And Julie's like,
Institute.
The Institute. Send her away.
And Jimmy's like, what? Like, you should fucking. Mm-hmm. Her friends are here. I'm here.
Right.
Like, she should stay
Jimmy
here.
Jimmy is like, no, she should stay here and do it.
Yeah.
And then Julie, as soon as Jimmy walks away, is like, nah, fuck it.
Just straight up lies to that therapist.
She lies to the therapist and is like, her and her father and I have talked about it, and we think she should go to the Institute. What the fuck?
Yeah. Corroborate that shit, therapist
woman.
It's
so evil. But sometimes I feel like they just write her, like, super evil just because it's fun.
She's like, I'm sorry. I imagine Melinda gets the draft and she goes, I'm sorry, this script is not evil enough. If you could just evil it up a little bit more. And she's like, amp up my
Can you evil it up a little bit more?
Can you evil it up? Thanks.
They're in the hallway. Summer sees Julie and the therapist walking around. So she distracts them. Just by being like, oh, Mrs. Cooper, hi, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And she sees the therapist. She's like, okay, so I've been having this dream, and I'm walking in the woods and blah, 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 just so that she can get the boys to kind of get to Marissa's room.
Yeah.
They get to Marissa's room with a disguise, a candy striper disguise. Mm-hmm. But who should be there but Luke?
Oh, yeah, he comes after she gets dressed. Yeah.
She gets dressed, and Ryan turns around while she's getting
like, no
dressed.
No peeking.
It's like, okay.
He's literally seen you in a bathing suit, so I don't understand.
Yeah, I mean,
I guess she's
in a bra on.
She has probably no undergarments.
She's super naked, yeah.
Yeah.
Luke shows up, and he
no
just puka
shell, Luke.
No puka shell.
We might be on
to
something here.
Changed Luke.
It's a
he lost his puka shell powers.
But gained a heart, maybe. Something like that.
And his heart grew 3 times that day.
Oh, on brand.
It's like
Merry Christmaka. You're getting this on Christmaka, y'all.
The puka shells were like his Horcrux.
Yes.
And when
oh
he takes
God,
it off, he's like,
Horcrux?
he's like not cranky anymore. Like, you know when Ron's like walking around.
Or,
what?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he gets real upset.
He's like all like looking around. He's like all sullen. And he's got the locket on.
I was going to say, otherwise, akin to that, like, I don't watch Lord of the Rings, but in Lord of the Rings, you know how it like changes you to have the ring?
Oh, yeah. It's very similar to a Horcrux. It's almost like J.K. Rowling.
Stolen idea.
That's fine. It's fine.
I mean, there are no original ideas. Let's
don't
get
tweet
serious.
Us. Don't tweet us.
Good job helping out, though. Like, take the stairs.
Yeah,
like,
it was nice. It was nice. So they escaped the hospital. And now Kirsten brings Jimmy to a Mexican restaurant because Sandy's office told her that he was having drinks with a few coworkers to celebrate his first day, and they walk in.
Yeah.
A few coworkers. No, it's just Rachel.
Yep.
And oh boy, is this scene a mess.
It really is.
Are you going to play it?
I'm going to play just the intro at least.
It
is. Because it's my favorite thing.
Oh boy.
So this is Rachel.
This is Rachel.
I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. I'm
it's just so, I just wanted like, so
this is
Rachel.
Rachel.
This is Rachel.
I'm Rachel.
Rachel. Awkward laughter.
It's so awkward because Kirsten didn't think that Rachel was hot.
Yeah.
And Rachel is hot.
She's, yes.
But I also cannot stand her.
No.
I mean,
she's written
her.
To be unlikable, for sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And I also wonder, because I feel like she goes away at some point, and, like, does she still work at the
She does, but I don't, we'll get there. I don't remember what happens.
Yeah, it's just so awkward.
So then they leave the Mexican restaurant, and Kirsten's like, I'll see you at home. Clearly upset.
Yeah, well, and Rachel said something about, like, oh, like, how do you, you're so lucky to be married to someone that's so hilarious. And
oh, she knew exactly what she was
and
doing.
And Kirsten just looks at her, and she's like, I am.
Yikes. Yikes. Big yikes.
Get the fuck out of here.
She knew. Rachel knew exactly what she's doing.
Yep. She sure does.
She,
we'll get there.
Oh, boy. So.
Jimmy comes
home to his apartment in the dark.
With some takeout.
And with some takeout. And he turns on the light. And there's just 4 teenagers sitting on his couch.
Did they break in?
Why are they sitting alone? Like, they're just sitting quietly in the dark.
Yeah. Did they break in? I don't think anyone has keys because he moved to this apartment while she was unconscious gone. In Mexico.
Yeah, I didn't think about
Ryan
that. I was more
a
concerned.
Semi-criminal background.
I was like, why the fuck are they just sitting in the dark?
Yeah. How did you get in?
How did you get in?
Unless Jimmy's just very irresponsible and left something open.
Maybe he left something open. He has nothing to lose.
It's
he has nothing to steal.
It's just a weird TV trope.
It was very strange. Yeah. To me, so I wrote the whole like sole custody thing.
Yeah.
As a child of divorced parents, when you become of age, you can choose who you want to live with.
Yeah.
So Marissa's 16.
Yeah.
She can choose to live with Jimmy. Even in court, she can go
at
and be.
At 16 or at
18? At 13. 13's the age.
Sorry, you said of age.
I might be in different states, but I'm pretty sure when the kid turns 13, they can decide who they want to live with. I mean, and she does in a way. She tells Julie.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was such a thing. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like after a certain age, like the kids can decide where they want to go.
However, I will say that Julie would probably use Marissa's mental health against her.
Yeah.
And
then
would
she
say
absolutely
that she's
would.
Like not in her right
yeah,
mind
she absolutely
to
would.
Stay with this guy that has all these problems and stuff. Yeah.
It's true.
So
she tells, you know, she tells Jimmy, I want to live with you, blah, blah, blah. Then they're all just kind of hanging out, walking down the pier.
Yeah.
Which is a very sweet, like, kind of like, this is the first moment where I'm like, oh, it's the core four all hanging out. They're just eating pizza.
I wrote that. She's also being really flippant about needing help when she was, like, almost dead 24 hours ago, possibly. Like, you almost died fucking yesterday, bitch.
Like, Jimmy's seriously? Like, what are you doing here? And Marissa's like, oh, yeah, I just checked myself out.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
No, you didn't, bitch. You ran away.
Yeah. You checked out at, no, you ran away.
She's like, yeah, I don't know, what are we going to do now? And Seth is like, I could hide you in one of my mom's developments.
Oh, God.
Which
bad joke, Seth.
Made
Come
me,
on. Yeah.
Which made me laugh. Ryan offers to
stay away. If your mom's doing all this, just keep me away from you.
Just so stay away. Dramatic.
I don't
stay
want
away.
That.
she doesn't want that. I don't want that. I'm too British.
I don't want that.
Sandy comes home to Kirsten,
oof,
who was just drinking that red wine.
Mm-hmm.
She is upset. And you know what? I would be too.
Same.
Honestly. So she's just literally just sitting on the couch just drinking red wine, like just thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And
steaming.
You know, and he's like, I know. It's nothing.
I know. And she's like, she looks 12 or whatever. I don't remember.
Right.
She says. And he's like, she's 33. And I was like, she's 1 year older than me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just for reference,
he's like, it's nothing. Like we work together.
Yeah.
And she says, you know, she looks doesn't look old enough to drink or
to
something
be
like that.
To be served in a bar, let alone like.
And
you know,
he
have
says
a degree.
She graduated Berkeley 4 years after you,
mm-hmm.
which would make Kirsten what 37, 38?
Yeah,
I guess. So they had Seth young. They must have had Seth like right like after they got out of school and got married.
Well,
I mean, it just depends.
Yeah,
she's probably
38
or 39, something like that.
I would say that Kirsten didn't go to law school, probably. So I imagine that she graduated from Berkeley,
right,
with like an undergrad degree 4 years after Kirsten, and then still had to. I mean, I guess it still makes them the same age. I was trying to justify this. Math doesn't work out, folks.
But they tell each other.
Yeah,
you know, he's like, I didn't say anything when you were over there painting with Jimmy.
Oif. Yep.
And he's Kirsten. Like, because I knew that nothing was going to happen because I trust you.
Mm.
She says, I trust you.
She's like, yeah, nothing happened. Of course.
She should have fucking told him.
Kirsten, that was your window.
She should have told him the second it happened, honestly. But this
For
is TV and people don't talk to each other on TV because otherwise there wouldn't be drama.
Mm-hmm. So now this is the second time she has not told him. Great. Good job.
Ryan calls Sandy for advice.
Yep.
About the Julia Marissa thing. And he says, as we talked about earlier in the episode, mm-hmm. you're going to want to settle.
If I've learned anything today.
You're going to want to settle.
Yeah.
So they have a little powwow.
A little rendezvous.
And
Julie comes to the house.
She comes to the Cohen house. They're in the kitchen.
This line, I can't believe you're chaperoning this farce. Great.
I can't
believe
you're chaperoning this farce.
It's a great line.
From Julie.
I mean, I get the point of the conversation, but he gets a
little
aggressive.
Very aggressive, yes.
That's... Like, you could say this in a much more tactful way, possibly. Not just jabbing the dragon.
Sit down.
No, I don't want to sit down.
All right. Let's all talk.
Talk about what? What is there to talk about?
Well, if you ever want to see your daughter,
Jesus.
Watch it. Julie, I know you've been through a lot, but Ryan isn't the problem.
What is that supposed to mean? You tell me where she is, and then I am taking her home. She just ran away from a hospital.
Ran away from you. You're from Riverside, right? Well, that's not too far from where I grew up.
I am calling the police in like 2 seconds.
And I know this place has everything we never had. And I know you're afraid you're gonna lose it all, everything you've ever wanted.
I'm done.
But what you want and what your daughter wants are two different things.
You don't know what she wants.
I know what she doesn't want. She doesn't want to go to San Diego. And she doesn't want to live with you.
Yeah, they use that, I know what she doesn't want.
Yeah.
In every single,
so many
previously
promo.
On the OC.
You don't know what she wants.
So Julie,
yeah,
basically, like, they have that fight, and then Marissa's like, and I want to live with Dad.
She's so bad at
it. And
acting.
we see a little humanity from Julie, but then she, like, yeah, for like 30 seconds, and she's like, okay,
she's really,
and then
upset.
She's like,
I'm so
and also
scared.
I'll, like, she like walks out and like,
yeah,
yells at all of them, but
yeah, And Ryan hugs Marissa, and I was like, oh man, it's that lever cuff though.
She gives, well, yeah, she gives him a little kiss on the cheek.
Yeah.
Outside, Seth and Summer are out by the pool,
mm-hmm,
and
like flirt chatting.
They're flirt chatting in a way that I realize I learned how to flirt watching the show, which means that I just insult the boys that I like.
Yep. Probably
my
same.
Boyfriend can attest to that. He will never listen to this. But yeah, I like their little chat. Seth is like, you're still gonna ignore me at school, and Summer's like, I can try.
Yeah,
which is pretty cute.
I love it.
And then, why did I say you're so white, Mom? What does he say
to
her?
I literally have this. It's a great clip, but I'm just gonna say it. She goes, now let's talk about that surprise little trip to Tijuana. And he goes, yeah, it's pronounced Tijuana, Mom. You're
Tijuana.
So white, or whatever.
Tijuana.
And he like corrects her. It's just really funny.
We're back at school the next day, presumably. Yeah. Sandy took Ryan.
Yeah.
To finish his test, because Dr.
Or
Kim,
to like talk to her at
or
least
talk
about
to
it.
Talk to Dr. Kim, you know, he's basically like, you took on
you
the dragon lady, you took on Julie Cooper, you can take Dr. Kim.
Totally.
So Ryan is able to take his test.
Mm-hmm.
Outside, when they're waiting for the test,
yes.
Seth and Sandy are talking. Sandy's like, I saw you getting kind of chummy with Summer last night, and Seth's like, chummy? You're my dad, I can't tell you that. And Sandy's like, who can you tell? And Seth is like, I don't know, Mom, Ryan,
that tree
over there.
Yeah. I just went, God, I love these boys.
So Ryan passes the test.
Shocking.
And he can go to the harbor school.
Check out my new mugshot.
Check out his new mugshot on his ID.
Yeah.
And Sandy shows his, and they're walking out, and they all make jokes about his eyebrows. And that's the end of the episode.
That's the end of the episode.
The eyebrows are a power symbol.
Yeah, they're a sign of power.
And that must mean that Sandy Cohen is the most powerful man in the world.
That's true.
How would you did you like this episode? What did you think? This episode's like only okay to me.
Yeah. I feel like it wraps some shit up. It's definitely like a two-parter from it's probably like a to be continued.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. For sure.
Yeah. It just like ties up some shit, mm-hmm, and like, you know, we're transitioning from preschool to
before school to the next one.
So it's like a necessary episode, but it's
that's how I feel about this one, and
not
and
necessarily procedural, but like it's
I feel that similar to the next episode too. They both are kind of like they're setting stuff up for better episodes. But that's, I mean, that's to
but
be, this is a 27 episode
season. I was
going to
say, this is a long season.
Which is wild to think about now in the age of Netflix when everything is 10
like
to 13 episodes.
I've been watching a lot of British series that are like eight episodes and I'm just
long.
Like, sweet.
The IT Crowd is what, like 12, maybe 10 a season?
Yeah.
But I mean, I like it.
I like longer developed narratives too, which is, and you can pop in. That's why there was always like the previously on. You can be like, let's see what these hot bitches are up to this week.
Exactly.
I haven't checked this show out before.
I like both. I mean, there's certain episodes that I think are definitely more filler.
Stronger.
I think this one is a little bit. It sets stuff up, but it still is kind of like,
Yeah.
So
we're sowing some seeds.
That's how I feel about this episode. I'm just kind of like, okay, like it happened.
Totally.
So I guess that wraps it up.
I was going to say, we're wrapping it up. Can I throw it out there?
Yeah.
Do I win this free set of steak knives?
Well, I'll see you next week.
Hey.